Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Pastor mentioned, we'll be using the gospel lesson for this Sunday, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, as our sermon text. We hear again verses 8 and 9. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are shrewd in dealing with their own kind more than the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. This is God's word. You already sense the irony that on a Sunday when we are encouraged to manage God's gifts well, we have before us a parable of Jesus that involves a manager who didn't manage well. And so this morning, as we consider these words, as Jesus told this story, often described as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, something taking from daily life to illustrate spiritual life, we're going to pay very careful attention to what is being praised and who is being praised and who's doing the praising, as we are encouraged on the basis of these words from Luke's gospel to manage God's gifts well, to use them shrewdly, to use them faithfully, and to keep them in perspective. Jesus, as he spoke these words, had an audience of his disciples, we're told, but we're also told that Pharisees were in the vicinity as well. He spoke to them in a way that made clear that he expected from them, encouraged them to act in their lives as believers and as disciples, later apostles, in ways that would use the things that God had granted them in their life in ways that were, yes, shrewdly, and Pastor said so well, cleverly, astutely, and to bring to the work of managing God's gifts something that could be learned from, call it the outside world, the unbelieving world. The master commended the manager. Jesus told this story of a manager who, well, hadn't done his job. And when his boss, the rich man whose possessions the manager was entrusted with, realized that the manager had just been wasting those possessions, he called them in and then did what he had to do, called into account, almost literally to the accounts of what those possessions meant, and told him he could no longer be manager. But apparently, there was a bit of an interim. He still had the books. And then he acted. And there is that steady drumbeat of knocking down those debts that were on the books, debts that were owed to his master, that the manager, by the power of his position, could tweak, adjust in a way that favored the debtors, but from the manager's point of view, favored him. Because he assessed himself. He knew, first of all, his time is short, whatever this interim was when he still had control of the books. He also knew that he really wasn't suited for any other work. And he knew himself well enough to see, I can't beg either. What can I do? Well, he took the situation, took what he had control of, and acted in a way that once that manager's job was over, and again, time was short, the people whom he had befriended by adjusting the books would welcome him. The master commended the dishonest servant. As brazen and shocking in a certain sense, as audacious as the act of the manager is in knocking down those debts, in a certain way, even more startling is to hear this. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. We don't know what else happened, but the manager was praised by the owner, the rich man, because he had acted in a way that the rich man understood as, again, acting in a way that put himself at best advantage and at best advantage with the gifts that he had control of. They weren't even his own. Jesus' comment then, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Again, we're careful with what's being praised here. This manager had acted poorly as a manager, and now he was acting dishonestly as a manager on his way out. And Jesus is not saying to the disciples, to you and me, go thou and do likewise. Oh, by no means. And the rich man who praised the manager, he doesn't really represent anything particular. He's just the mouthpiece of calling out this quality of shrewdness, of applying one's mind in a way that recognizes potential and opportunity and uses it to advantage. And Jesus takes that one feature of this startling story and says to his disciples, says to you and me, let's use that same kind of astuteness, cleverness, sanctified surely, baptized in a sense, but used to manage the gifts of our God well. And so it is. As we're encouraged to do exactly that, well, we see some of the same things the manager saw. Time is short. It may not feel that way when we're young. Life seems to have this long, long path ahead of us. We who are much older realize how short it was to move across that path. And we in the middle might be tugged in both directions or just very much wrapped up in the busyness of life that we don't look at the clock or calendar as much. We just keep doing what needs to be done. We pause, as that manager did on his way out, and realize, no, our time is short. Whatever God grants, it's short. And then to consider the resources at our disposal. And these resources, the manager knew, were not going to be his for long. What I've called that interim, when apparently he still had management of the books, that was very short. And those resources, during that time, were under his control. And it's a suggestion that we could then take to ourselves as we consider the various gifts God's granted us in our short time, in our lives. And then the third aspect of acting shrewdly, this manager assessed the best way to use what he had while he could. And that's what Jesus is pointing out, nothing else. And about those qualities just mentioned, about those things, Jesus does say, go thou and do likewise. Go thou and be likewise. Be shrewd in the management of God's gifts. We sometimes sum those up as time, talent, and treasure. We think of skills, opportunity, the length of days that God grants as resources that are in some sense under our control, in that sense that we are the ones who get to manage how we use them. Shrewd management of time didn't include me this morning when a train blocked my exit from New Orleans. And the preciousness of that clicking talk became even more evident, and I debated about saying anything at all. As I calmed down among friends, I'm reminded of how precious time is and how we shrewdly handle that is included in here. Think of it how you manage your own time. How important it is to be sure that that time is set aside in ways that bring us closer to our God. That a routine is established for us as individuals, especially within a larger group of a family, where by word and example, we set aside time for God's word and God's worship. That it's most important in our priorities. That it's there in our devotional life, as children see us in a routine of prayer, meals, bedtime, or on other occasions. We think of managing time in ways that enable us to use that time to serve our congregation, our community, our country, and yes, back at our family and our marriage. It's an astute management of time. It's a shrewd management of time to say, it's short and it's precious, but it's what we will prioritize as serving God and with Him serving people. Treasure, how we manage that as well. We think properly of managing it within the life of a Christian congregation as we support our schools, support our church, and the wider work of like-minded churches. Certainly that's a blessed part of this. But it's there also as, again, we manage those gifts God has given us in order that we might sustain our body and life and as circumstances would demand, other people in our lives as well. A beautiful thing that our God grants that's focused not on self and pleasure, not on, as we heard in Ecclesiastes, the meaningless things of this life, but opportunity to praise God by sharing with others the good things he's given us. We manage those things as well. And then the harder to quantify things, the harder things to measure, but are nevertheless also gifts of our God, we manage our skills, our talents, our knacks shrewdly as well. Perhaps you have a knack for talking to children. You talk to them about their Savior, whether they're under your roof at home or perhaps under the roof of our school as Kids in Christ gather on Sunday. Or perhaps you're called into full-time ministry that includes, as a teacher particularly, teaching the young ones of God's flock the truths of their Savior Jesus. Maybe it's skills in the crafts and the trades that build a community, that make things. You have opportunity in those settings as well to serve God and people by bringing your best efforts to that labor. Perhaps at times those skills are called upon to serve, again, in ways that simply assist people that aren't necessarily the transactions of everyday life for salary and payment, but that are simply then used as gifts to support others, to help others in need, to help a congregation in whatever ways one can. Now, you think of time and talent and treasure, those things coming together in ways that are encouraged by our God, by Jesus in this parable, to be managed shrewdly. And there's overlap here, as we also manage them faithfully. Jesus went on, whoever will be trusted with very little, whoever can be trusted with very little will also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Jesus is talking about the management of the greatest gift of all, the good news of the gospel, that even as he spoke these words, he was carrying out as our Savior. That phrase that is just before this verse, so that there will be those who will, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings, ties into this as well, the management of that greatest gift of all. Managing shrewdly that we might be welcomed into eternal dwellings parallels the story Jesus told of that shrewd manager who did what he did in order that people would take him in once he was out of a job, that they would treat him kindly because of the, call it, kindness he had shown to them. What Jesus refers to here may be understood as using our gifts faithfully in order that others might have what we have and might share that with us one day in heaven. Who will welcome us into heaven? Well, instantly. And of course, we answer, well, Jesus will. He's the one who won heaven for us by his life, death, resurrection. We know that it's ours, and our Savior will bring us home one day. But we think also of the others who will be there. And again, properly and naturally, our minds turn to the loved ones who've shared with us faith in Jesus, those believers in our Savior who have gone ahead of us. Yes, that too. But there may well be, there will be people who benefited in the best way possible from shrewd management of God's gifts, from faithfully carrying out the tasks that God put before us in order that his word might be heard. And so that includes supporting a Christian school and congregation and that wider work in ways that speak encouragement, that give material support, that in practical ways assist and advise. Certainly those things. We think also of, again, faithful management, that steady day-to-day carrying out of one's priorities. Managing gifts well, Jesus said, whoever would be trusted with very little, those relatively small gifts, can be trusted with the very great gift of God's salvation. And we do that, in a sense, trembling. Trembling because we know that we are but sinners. And we don't manage well or perfectly or exactly as our God would have us. And at times, the priorities that ought to be there get bumped by the pleasures we chase, or the things we forget, or the things I neglected to carry out in whatever tasks it was, if I would have just used my strength, my time, my talent, treasure, whatever it might be, in any way that would have pleased God. Here we see Jesus in his ministry, in that perfect life under his own law, living in our place and doing exactly that in his work, in his rest, in his interactions with his family and close loved ones, his friends, yes, even with his enemies, with Jew, Gentile, young, old, whomever he interacted with, perfectly and in our place, and then lived perfectly in our place until he gave up that innocent life on the cross. All of that is that great gift that you and I have, that our gracious God brought us into salvation by making those facts not just a broad sweep of a good thing God did for the world, but that he did for each one of us. Each one of us personally brought us into faith through baptism, nourished us in the Word, nourishes us with his very body and blood through the bread and wine at Lord's Supper, using faithfully, managing these gifts shrewdly includes a faithful application of those things to our lives that we gather here and worship, but we continue our worship across our week in all the settings and roles where our God places us as diligent and faithful employees through whom others see Jesus, as employers who treat those who work with and for us as the people that God has given us to advance the things of our business, our employment, whatever it might be, in our home life as husband and wife, treat each other as our Savior treated all children who see that example, who bring home the Bible stories. On and on and on we could go. Faithful use of God's gifts is this shrewd management. And then Jesus continues by encouraging us toward a perspective. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." It comes around to the readings we heard earlier, the meaninglessness of the things of this world. They are only temporary. Those gifts that God lets us use are gone. We can't take them with us. It speaks to also a perspective that Paul spoke about when he wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter. "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." We can open up the bank statements. We can see the house God granted us to build, perhaps with our own hands. We see the progress of business, the advances we make through school. We see the various things that God graces our life with. What we don't see are the benefits that await us. Oh, we see them with eyes of faith. Surely we do. A place of perfect joy and peace, the bliss of heaven, brought to us through the marvelous good news of the Savior who gave his life in order that we might have that. And that gives us then a perspective on this life. Again, back to that shrewd manager. He knew his time was short. He knew that he had only limited time with access to the resources that the rich man had granted him. And he knew that he needed to prepare for the future. God has granted all of that to us. We think on these things and marvel at the blessing of our God. The God that enables us then to keep a perspective. Our God has given us so much through our Savior Jesus that all the other gifts, as wonderful as they are, those talents, skills, time, all of that, are in their way a reflection, a small little glimmer of the most amazing gift of all. Manage God's gifts shrewdly in whatever way and in the many ways that he has enabled you to live in this world and interact in the ways described. Time is short. Those gifts are many. But we have the greatest gift of all in Jesus. In his name, amen.